Good to see you this morning. We have several visitors and we welcome you. We appreciate that you're among us. We invite you to come back if you can tonight at 6, and certainly we invite any comments you may have, any questions you might have of what we say or do. We'd be happy to spend the time that we have together to go to God's Word and consider God's answers to such questions. Our interest and intent for each one of us is that we may honor God in everything that we do, everything that we say, that our faith is built upon Him and His Word of truth rather than upon anything that would be a human source, including ourselves. And so if we can urge you this morning to be obedient to the Lord, to become a child of God, to be forgiven of your past sins, and to live with the hope of heaven, we certainly want to encourage that of you. We want to help you in that way. And we want to invite you at the close of the lesson to simply come forward and let your desire be known. If you wish to be baptized into Christ, to become a Christian, or if as a Christian you need to correct some sin in your life, seek the prayers of the brethren, use a public opportunity to correct public sin, then we certainly want to help you in those matters. Appreciate Tanner reading for us. I was going to say, it just seems like old times. We know he's not a visitor, not yet anyway. Long shot. Good to have him, Lindsay back for a while, and others that are visiting. Good to see Jordan and other faces that encourage us and to be able to renew the tie that binds, and to thank God for His continued blessings over each one. We're thankful for that. I'd like to study this morning with you from God's Word a little while about waiting. As I appreciate Steve leading that song for us to sing, Why Keep Jesus Waiting? Because waiting is, and I know, you know, children at this time, they're waiting and just can't wait for Christmas Day, I guess, you know, Santa and all that. But I want to talk to you about procrastination, at least to begin our study this morning. Because procrastination is a stumbling block to accomplishment. It's a hindrance to us achieving what we can achieve, what we're capable of achieving. And it's a stumbling block because it undermines really even how we view ourselves. The Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And when we speak of procrastination, this act or habit of delay, it can really begin to define how we look at ourselves, much less look at the things that God has set before us and that God seeks and desires of us in our lives, so that we delay it and put it off and come up with a lot of excuses to justify that delay or that procrastinating, and consequently, we undermine our effectiveness. We can undermine our effectiveness and undermine our faith in the Lord, our faith in trusting Him and relying upon Him. Now, I looked up a little bit on the internet this past week trying to just see, well, what do people say about procrastination? And so I found this website, and it came from Psychology Today. Now, you know, psychologists, he's got to make a big list of things, you know, defining things, and sometimes they're okay, sometimes not so much, but you got some pretty good ideas here about the idea of procrastination that I just wanted to quickly share with you, is to introduce our thinking on this subject. He says, this particular article says that about 20% of Americans would identify themselves as chronic procrastinators. So it's a fairly common thing. Now, even if 20% of us would identify ourselves as chronic procrastinators, I don't know, do the numbers, we're talking about maybe a dozen or 20 or so here this morning. Well, that's just chronic, you know. I guess all of us could say we have delayed and put off various things at various times, but it's a common thing. And it's not so trivial, because it really gets to an issue of self-regulation. And so it's about how we begin to operate in this world, about how we regulate ourselves. So it's not an incidental thing. It is not a problem of lacking the ability to plan or manage our time. A procrastinator it's not that they just don't have the ability. They just are incapable. But it gets back to issues of managing oneself and the circumstances of one's life. Procrastinators are made, they're not born. We're not born that way. A variety of factors play into it, I suppose. But it's important to know that we just made that way. We just born that way, and that's just the way it is. That's just the way I am, and that's it. That is not only self-justifying, but it's self-defeating. As we talk about such things, procrastinators have a problem with self-regulation. As I said, it's predicted, or procrastinators can be predicted as having higher levels of alcohol consumption among those who drink. They have a problem with self-regulation, and it reveals itself in this idea of putting off and delaying important matters of life. Procrastinators tell lies to themselves. Procrastinators lie to themselves. Things like, well, you know, I work best under pressure. Or saying, you know, I'm more creative. When I'm under a time pressure, I'm just more creative. You know, I write that theme paper better at midnight the night before I have to turn it in. Really? Probably not. But we lie to ourselves. Procrastinators lie to themselves. Yeah, we lie to ourselves. All right. Procrastinators actively look for distractions that do not take much commitment. It's interesting, the illustration they used here. And the idea is we look for distractions because we're afraid of failure. So we put off, we delay, and then we distract so we don't have to face the fact that, in fact, when we're putting off and delaying, we're failing accomplishing what we ought to accomplish. The illustration I gave was checking email is almost perfect for this purpose. They distract themselves as a way of regulating their emotions, such as fear of failure. So we can find ourselves distracting ourselves and looking like we're busy, but not really very committed to really getting the job done. People procrastinate for different reasons. And that seems pretty obvious, but these psychologists, they say one reason people procrastinate is they're thrill seekers. They wait till the last minute because there's some euphoric rush they get in that. Maybe, I guess. I don't know about that. But then they're the avoiders. They avoid the fear of failure or the fear of success. And then there's the decisional procrastinators. They just can't make a decision. They put off and delay because they just can't decide. They just can't make a decision. There are different reasons people delay habitually, chronically, and we need to examine that perhaps in ourselves. Procrastination is expensive. There's health expenses. It destroys teamwork. It destroys teamwork at the workplace. It destroys teamwork in private relationships. Procrastination is not cost-free. It comes at a price. Procrastinators can change their behavior. If we are among that chronic procrastinators, we can change our behavior. Now, all these things have... the reason we bring these all up to illustrate is the spiritual component and application of these thoughts. Is that it may be that today you're putting off doing something that you know is right. Maybe you're putting off becoming a Christian. Maybe you're putting off... we're going to make some applications of these things. And so, on the one hand, it's helpful to assess, well, why am I doing that? But on the other hand, it's essential to understand that the delay is of no benefit. It's not helpful. It's, in fact, hindering you preventing you from the spiritual success, from spiritual freedom from sin, and the joy, the accomplishment, the success that comes with being a thriving Christian, a faithful Christian. So remember, Jesus said, "We must work the works of Him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work." Jesus said, "The time to work is now." We need to get busy doing the work God gives us to do while we have the opportunity to do it. Because you see, this can lead to sin. To him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. When we, in fact, procrastinate doing the good things of God, we delay, we avoid, we push aside what God expects of us, we sin. We're violating His will. We are hindering our soul's fellowship with God, our soul's freedom from sin's shackles. We ask the question, why are you waiting? Why am I waiting? Why do people wait to follow Jesus? Well, one reason is convenience. Remember in Acts, the 24th chapter, verses 24 and 25, when Paul was arrested and brought before the governor, Felix, who was himself a quite an immoral man, he along with his wife Drusilla, with whom he was living in adultery, by the way, who was Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Now as he reasoned about righteousness and self-control and the judgment to come, he was afraid. Felix was afraid and answered, "Go away for now, and when I have a convenient time, I'll call for you." When I have a more opportune time, sometimes people put off following Jesus simply because it's not convenient to them at this time to follow Jesus. It's not convenient to get up and be at a 9:30 Bible class. It's not convenient to come out at 6 o'clock on a Sunday night or 7 o'clock on a Wednesday night. And it's just not convenient to choose to give part of my hard-earned money on the Lord's Day. It's not convenient to stand against the particular immoralities that I'm around every day at work. It's not easy. It's not opportune. It's not convenient. Why don't people follow Jesus? It's not convenient to them. We want a carefree, work-free, painless Christianity. We don't want sacrifice. Some don't. But you see, that's why a lot of people choose to wait to follow Jesus. Because it's just not convenient right now. It will never be convenient to follow Jesus. It's just not. Jesus said, "If any man will follow me, let him deny himself daily and take up his cross and follow me." It's not convenient to take up your cross, as we reflected upon the cross of Jesus at the Lord's table today. Nothing convenient about what Jesus did. Nothing convenient about following Him. That's why some people wait to follow Jesus. Some people wait to follow Jesus because they have wrong priorities and a lack of sufficient commitment. Remember, kind of like that, one of those explanations of procrastination. You know, you always divert. Wrong priorities. No sustaining commitment. And so, some people choose not to follow Him. In Luke 9, you remember the man said, "Lord, in fact, Jesus said to him, "Follow me." And he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God." And Jesus said, "If you set a priority. You need to be sure your priorities are right to follow me. Come follow me and proclaim the kingdom." But another said, "Lord, I'll follow you. But let me first go and bid farewell to those who are in the house." I'll follow you, Jesus, but I got some other things to do first. And he said, no one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Lacking commitment. Not enough devotion was the problem of this man. When he said, nothing wrong telling you folks goodbye, but clearly Jesus is using that as his point. You've got to have a primary commitment, a fundamental priority. Some people don't follow Jesus because they're just not unwilling. They're not willing to set the priority, to sustain the commitment at expense, at sacrifice. And when we don't, then we delay, we put off, we procrastinate, we wait. Some believe they'll have time later, and so they choose not to follow Jesus now. Tanner read about the five wise and the five foolish virgins in Matthew 25, and some were prepared and some were not. As they went away to get ready, then the bridegroom came and they were not allowed into the feast. And so the lesson of being ready, being watchful, being prepared for the Son of Man's come. Now, sometimes we're not prepared because we just think we'll have time later, and so we don't get ready now. In James, the 4th chapter, 13 through 17, come now, you who say, tomorrow we'll go to such and such a city. We'll spend a year there, we'll buy and sell and make a profit. So he's speaking to people who make business plans. He says, but you don't know what's on tomorrow. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. What is your life? He says, you need to think about something more fundamental than your life's plans. More fundamental than what you're going to do in business next year. You need to think about the uncertainty of life. You are here a very brief, you're like a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Life is brief and it is uncertain. So you must allow this to be the fundamental criteria upon which you build your plans for the future. Indeed, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will both live and do this or that. And now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. See, they not only were not depending upon God for the future, they were depending upon themselves. They were boasting in their ability, their arrogance. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it's sin. We'll have time later on down, but I've got some plans right now I really got to get to. I got some objectives now that really are important to me. I'm going to do those right now, and I'll talk about God. I'll think about God later. And that's why people put off following Jesus. They have not built their life upon the fundamental principle that they don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Life is uncertain. Life is brief. Reminds me of J. Thaddeus. I don't know if you know J. Thaddeus or not. He was a pretty normal guy. I mean, he had a pretty full life, and he was a businessman, and he worked his business, and it's not that he didn't believe in God. He did. He believed in God, and he went to church on special occasions. You know, once or twice a year, he'd show up and he'd do those sorts of things. But he was really, really involved in his work and in his family and his recreation and so he planned to he was going to follow Jesus. He planned that. But here lies J. Thaddeus. He planned to seek Christ at the 11th hour, but he died at 10:30. We can plan to follow Jesus at the 11th hour when we get all the other things done we want to do, and die before we get there. You see. That's why a lot of people don't follow him. Because their plans are more important than God's. So we put off, we procrastinate, we delay. Sometimes it's just because of selfishness. We just are selfish. We want what we want. You remember the Luke 15, man had two sons, and the younger of them came to his father and said, "Father, give me the inheritance. Give me the portion of the goods that falls to me." He wanted what was his. He wouldn't even wait for the passing of his father. He wanted it now. See, he was somewhat entitled, you know. He thought, "It's mine. I deserve it. So I want it now." Well, he divided to them his life. He divided his livelihood to both of them, to his sons. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together. See, he didn't waste much time. But what he did was waste his possessions. He didn't waste any time in wasting his blessing, in wasting his inheritance. And that's the problem a lot of times with spiritual procrastination. We don't waste time in wasting our opportunities and blessings because we're too selfish to see beyond ourselves in the moment. And we don't think about God until it's too late. Oh, we'll think about God later, but the later doesn't get here. You know, and we join J. Thaddeus. You know. Procrastination. Why, perhaps in your life this morning, is it you're not following Jesus? Do any of these hit the mark? I hope you're not delaying. But if these hit the mark, then the next question is, what do we do about it? You know, how will we respond? Why do you wait to believe or to confess faith that Jesus is the Christ? To repent of our sins and to be baptized. See, and you remember Acts 22 and verse 16? 3 days had passed. Not 3 weeks, 3 months, or 3 years. 3 days had passed since Jesus had appeared to Saul on the road as he's traveling to Damascus. And now, after 3 days of being blind, and he's fasting in prayer, the preacher Ananias is sent to him by Jesus himself, and Ananias explains to him why Jesus appeared to him. He said, "He appeared to you to make you a witness of the things that you've seen." And Jesus had said that too on the road. He's chosen you that you should know His will and see the Just One and hear His voice and to be His witness, verse 15, of what you've seen and heard. And now, why are you waiting? Why are you waiting? It's all you believe. You have faith. You're showing a repentant heart. Why are you waiting? And so the question comes perhaps to you today, who believe that Jesus is the Christ and are willing to confess it. Who stand at the ready to repent. Repent of your sins, to change your heart. The question then is, why are you waiting to be baptized? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on His name or calling on the name of the Lord. Why are you waiting? Is it because it'd be easier some other time? It's going to be the same thing then as it is now. Priorities not what they ought to be. You can change that. Time later? You don't know if you'll have any time later. Except today. Maybe you just have some other things you want to do first. That just leads you down a path of wastefulness, of self-indulgence rather than denying self and taking up your cross and following Jesus. So the question and the need and the correct response is what we see in Acts 16. In Acts the 16th chapter, verses 30 through 34. Acts 16, 30 through 34. When the jailer runs into the inner prison where Paul and Silas had been put into the stocks, fastened securely, and there had been an earthquake, and all The shackles had been freed. The chains had been loosed. The prisoners are free. The man runs in, falls at their feet and says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" He said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. They preached the gospel to him and his family that very night. They needed faith. They needed to be saved from their sins. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. He did not wait to show kindness. He did not wait to change his heart. You see, before he had put them into the prison, he had secured the prison. He had manned the prison of these innocent men. Now, he washes their stripes. He has had a fundamental change of heart. That's repentance. And immediately he and all of his family were baptized. They did not tarry. They did not delay. They did not wait. That's the correct action, is to act immediately. Obey immediately when we know what God's Word and will is. We do it now. We don't wait. We don't say in time. We obey Him now. And when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them and rejoiced, having believed in God with all of his household. They had believed because, you see, not only did they accept the message, they acted immediately upon the message. And so, why are you waiting? Why keep Jesus waiting? Knocking at the door. Why? Keep Him pleading. He has died for you. He has revealed truth, and by it called you to come out of your sin, to live faithfully to Him. Why keep Him waiting? Why tarry? Why delay? Instead, obey immediately. Right now, you have the opportunity, today, right now, to put your faith into action, to be saved from your sins, to become a Christian. Confess your faith that Jesus is the Christ. Today, repent of your sin. Today, be baptized and be saved. Why wait? Why are you waiting? Why are you waiting to repent of sin in your life? To go back to God and say, "God, I have sinned in your sight. Be merciful to me. I'm not worthy to be called your child. Just make me a servant. Just have mercy on me." Why are you waiting? Pride? Convenience? The 11th hour? Why keep Jesus waiting? We need to, while it is time, while it is today, use our opportunity. The Bible says, "Exhort one another day by day as long as is called today, lest any of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." Sin, by its very nature, hardens us to prevent us from immediate response to what is good and right and what God wants of us. And so today, in Hebrews 3, not only in 13, but then you back up to verse 7, he says, "Today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your heart as in the days of the provocation in the wilderness." Don't be like Israel. You know, God blessed them, gave them release, gave them freedom from bondage, gave them food, supplied their needs, leading them, directing them, and they hardened themselves and would not obey in faith. Don't let sin harden you. Don't say one of these days. Say, "Today is the acceptable time. Today is the day of salvation." 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2. Obey Jesus now. Don't keep Him waiting. What will your answer be today? Will your answer today be, "I want to be saved. Today I want to be a Christian. Today I want to be faithful in all things. Today I want to devote myself fully and completely to the Lord"? We pray that it'll be so. We urge you to come to respond to the call of the gospel while we stand and while we sing.